grab a seat to the bar and join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tansen, Jess, and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Welcome to the McAnally's Podcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.5, Knights in White Satin Robes, where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tansen, and I am joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
228 days.
Thank you so much to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us keep doing what we're doing. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 7. Harry prepares himself for his upcoming ritual, but is disrupted by a phone call from Molly Carpenter asking him to bail her out of jail.
Molly's back! Woo-woo! Okay, I love how he goes into this whole, like, we get so excited for, like, little Chicago, and then he's like, okay, so I have to do this whole big, man, I couldn't do this. I don't know if it's the narcolepsy or the ADD or what, but I'm like, it takes all my energy just to have a shower. To go out in the world. There are like weekend days where I end up like not even doing my errands because I'm like, I can't handle the prep work to get out of the house.
Yeah,
I'm like,
but you're lacking the incentive to save the world.
This is
true. I was pretty motivated.
I'm just saying though, I would not enjoy this. Like the length of time, right? I'm just saying I would be so, by the time I got all this done, I would just be like, dude, I need a nap now. Like
I think it's a little bit counterproductive that in order to be so poised and presented and like ready
focused
to go on this, you have to spend so much energy, and yeah, by the time you're done doing that, I'd be like, okay, I'm too tired for the actual ritual now, what the hell. But I do really like it. It's the same way that his potion making goes, where it's like there's just this steady focused ritual. You have to do everything right and proper and meditate and clear your mind and clean your home and be ready if you're gonna have pure intentions to make sure nothing's going to distract you. I like it's very wizardry.
It is. It's great for the world building and everything like that, right? The thought, because I wouldn't think about this, right? But he's like, yeah, I'm gonna, you know, sweep and dust so that a little stray speck of dust or something is not gonna fuck up my circle, right? I was like, oh, brilliant, clever. Like, again, things you wouldn't. I'm like, it is, it's great that way. It's lovely getting the leveled. It's awesome laying out like the steps that you have to consider and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it is fun. And one of my favorite things is when he starts putting together the elements for it and he's like, I'm gonna have a glass of wine for water. I'm like, I am going to, that is my new, they tell you to drink like, you know, 8 cups of, I'm just going to, okay, as long as I can make my 8 cups of water, a glass of wine, done. Yeah.
Like, no, doctor, a wizard told me it was
from
okay.
Now, yeah, exactly. I was like, wine is just going to represent water in my life.
If it's good enough for Jesus.
Right, exactly. That too, it does definitely bring back that vibe to me, except it was the other way around. That was water into wine, not wine into water, but.
No, it's not like some, like you're going to need your brain in theta waves or something or delta waves. Like,
oh, probably like, that too. That's above actually, my pay grade. Yeah. But yes, yeah, you're right.
It's less about what you're actually doing, but really just getting your
the
brain
meditation. Quickly.
Mind over matter.
Yeah. Well, you should get a tattoo of that.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
I mention your tattoos later.
Oh, interesting.
No, it's in good light.
Okay. Unlike, well, I guess we'll see when we get there.
Unlike Molly's.
Yes. I do enjoy his preparation, and I do like the science and explanation, like you said, the world building, you know, make sure there is no distraction, then it can't go wrong. It's perfect.
Yeah, it is fun around those little
makes
ones.
Sense to me. So part of what his process is having to dress like a fucking idiot, even though you're in the comfort of your own home. I feel like if you are, okay, sure, wear whatever makes you feel that this ritual is going to go good. But knowing Harry Dresden, I'd be like, my Star Wars t-shirt that is well worn and threaded, like, you know?
That is my Jedi costume.
So when I was reading this, like that very first part, and he's like, I still feel silly when it comes time to bathe and then dress myself in a white robe with a hood, lighting candles and incense, chanting and mucking about with a small arsenal of candles, yada, yada. Just reminds me, so when I was in university, I was quite proud of myself because I didn't, most singers get their first gig at a church. It's just sort of one of those, your first paid gig is a church. And I really didn't want to do a church gig, kind of like, meh, not really.
Antichrist.
So.
I've sung for them for free already.
Uh-oh.
Just wait. No, it's not that bad.
She's a redhead, folks. Remember that. Okay.
But
it wasn't always.
someone came to the School of Music and asked for a mezzo-soprano, and one of my advisors was like, oh, hey, do you want to look into this gig? Like, they're going to pay cash. It's just a small gig. He's written a song for some event that he's doing. I was like, yeah, okay. Some event, some function at a golf course. Like, yeah, all right. Sounds cool. So I talked to the guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's like it's kind of inspired by astrology, and it'll be in such and such date and time.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll pay you this much. And we like, rehearsed it once, and it was great. It was fine. He's like, oh, that's awesome. This is going to be great. And so I show up.
Uh-huh.
But he neglected to tell me there was a dress code.
Oh, and that so could be important.
I get there in my usual concert attire, which is, like, I just in black and usually pants because it's just a little bit easier to get around for functions like that.
Yeah, I was never big.
So, yeah, black pantsuit, whatever. So
sounds reasonable.
And
sounds appropriate for most dress codes.
I really meet up with the guy, and he looks me up and down, and he goes, oh, okay, I forgot to tell you. You're supposed to dress in all white. Oh,
could not do that gig because I own nothing that is all white.
And then he looks me up and down again and goes, you're Scorpio, aren't you? It's like, yeah. Yeah, I am.
Did say the song was astrology based.
Well, he did. So he's like, okay, no worries about this. We've got some extra attire that you can, and it was this white robe with hoods. I don't have to wear a hood, but here's the white robe. Like, okay, cool. All right. So it was like the most new agey church function. Kind of almost.
Were you
merging.
Like dressed as a priest though? There like, was, what like, do you mean by white was, robe?
Like,
I'm thinking like that like, really terrible group whose initials like, we won't say.
May as well be a wizard robe kind of type thing. Like, okay, it didn't look like a.
You know, like choirs and
any
stuff.
Any sort
right?
of Catholic
white robe,
sort of a Christian thing.
With awesome. The big, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Alfred kind of.
So yeah. I think my first gig was a cult gig, but I'm not sure. They were lovely people and they were very nice. There was lots of singing bowls and lots of incense and lots of candles and
lots of
things that did not make a lot of sense to me.
The thoughts and opinions expressed here are not necessarily those of the singer.
I wasn't sure. To this day, I'm not sure. They were lovely people.
And how much
they
did they
so
pay?
Chill.
That's, I think, integral now.
For a very poor college student, they paid well enough.
And this is the day Tanzin learned she sold her soul for $150 plus buffet.
That's what I'm wondering, though.
I never did get called back.
$75 American, is it?
I think it was about $100. I think it was $100, if I remember right.
But in American, okay, for us poor Canadian.
And the finger sandwiches they served at the golf course. And a cup of that orange drink.
So it turns out my first gig was a church gig after all.
That is too funny.
Oops.
Well, I was going to say when she was going on about the has to wear, and I was like, Mark Twain said it best, right? Clothes make the man, which is why naked people have little to no influence on society.
Thankfully.
Yes.
Yeah, so Harry does gather his stuff, as you were starting to say, with the...
Better him than me for all of this.
The elements, a silver cup to hold the wine as water, as you said, a geode in purple and green for earth, a fey-made candle for fire using unicorn hair.
Now, he specifies that...
Good for wands and candles. Good for wands and candles.
Oh, wands and candles, yes. See, I thought you just meant about wine and candles. Okay, but he mentions it's like an unlit or like a never-before-lit or whatever, right? My question is this. Does he have to light it for this ceremony, or does he get to just use it? Because I'm like...
I think it's for the fire. You actually have to have the fire element lit.
Because I'm like, he's got, I mean, could you gotta imagine this took like a bunch of favors or a lot, right? Like he says, he occasionally has these really high-end, pricey kind of, you've got a brand new unicorn hair candle. I'm like, bitch, I'm like, no, it's just represent, I don't have to light this thing. I can use this thing like 50 times.
But I think the fire part.
I know, I feel like the fire yeah, part of it is pretty important.
Otherwise, it's representing wax.
Right. So this is, well, I mean, okay, but it's separate. Right. We know candles are.
It's better than a lighter because it's a fucking inherently magical, okay?
No, I'm just thinking, right, for like thrifty.
This one represents the bees.
Poor, broke, hairy. Yeah. I'm just like, right, this would be all, again, if it just needs to represent, a candle represents fire, right? I'm like, I can't
believe you're lighting your apartment with not virgin candles every time, Harry.
But yeah, I'm just saying it would be great if he could reuse the, right? Be like, I don't have to light it yet, I don't have to light it yet. But I was
like, he could have just gone with a Walmart candle, I'm sure.
You would think.
But he really wants it to work. It's little Chicago, okay? This is the time to break out the good china.
But this is where it, like, sucks for two reasons.
You need those theta waves.
Because not only does he not have this pristine, unused candle anymore if he had to light it, but considering he's going to get interrupted in 2 seconds, it's an even bigger waste.
Well, to be fair, I don't think it's actually been lit yet.
Okay, then he's lucky. So then, okay,
yes, I get the intent because he says as well, he's like, the tuning fork, I'll start to drum once I actually get going so I have the sound. And
that's
I think
true,
he's still,
maybe.
He's literally just setting up his stuff and like he's about to sit down when the call comes and ruins
I guess. Cause
and I think the unlit part is not important to the ritual. Like, I think he could probably have, it could have already been pre-lit and it would still be perfectly fine.
I think it would be kind of a so-so. I think it'd be just because the fact that he specifically mentions it, probably does help a little for other things that he wants to use it for. Again, right, it might not. I'm thinking there's a little bit of purpose to it, again, because he's doing like this whole big, right, if he just needs to do another spell sometime, it might be fine that it's already been, but it is funny too, as I was just saying, the poor broke-ass Harry, because we were playing with River yesterday. She comes up to me and Kenzie, and she's like, okay, she's like, I'm rich and you guys are poor, okay? And we're like, yeah, sounds about right. That was her whole method for the game. She's like, okay, so I'm rich and you guys are poor, okay? Just pretend that. Or like, yeah, it should be, yeah. But yeah.
The other elements that are covered is a rainbowy opal set in a silver frame for sight and a tuning fork for sound.
And didn't he do his whole spirity thing?
No, that was just the elements. So he does also set up individual essences, which is a military knife for as an athame for mind, drop of fresh blood for body, and heart. For heart, he uses photos of his parents, Susan Murphy, Thomas Mouse, and Mr. and Michael with his family.
And that's sweet.
It's very cute, but I also wonder Harry like knocking on all his friends' doors, like, I need a headshot. I need a headshot. What? I need a 2x2 passport photo headshot of you and your entire family.
Right? This is what's funny because you're right. Because like the school pictures, you always have those little like 2x2 wall things or whatever, like you say or whatever, right? But I was like, yeah, it'd be funny. I was like, grown-ups don't ever have that. Except like you say like your passport photo, but you're like.
Like I get like, okay, one family photo, like a Christmas card from the Carpenters or something like that makes sense. And like, yeah, sure, maybe you've got a Polaroid of the rest of them from over the years. But it still seems a little funny that he's like, can I go to my folder?
Like, wait,
Who do I like today? You are going to the bad ritual. You are going to the good ritual.
Carries around a disposable camera in his pocket.
Just every once in a while.
That's what I mean,
right?
Though. If I were Harry's friend, you could have a picture of me, but I would wonder. I'm like, should I really be giving him, like, why does he want my hair? Why? So I can find you one day if you get lost. Okay.
Late 90s, early 2000s. It's not that uncommon to have, like, pictures, like, set up and, like, printed out, like,
developed. It is. It's just kind of funny because
I have a whole wall of them.
I was going to say, there is that. On the one hand, it is very, very normal for most people to have pictures of friends and family. It's just, again, with Harry, because he always talks about how alone he is and how he, and then he goes on and talks about his, like, 10 million friends.
He's so dramatic. But, he wants to be the main character. So.
But, you know, but again, just with all of this, like, technology and all that kind of stuff, right? You're like, again, a little, like, disposable or whatever the camera.
What am I going to do? Pull up? Okay, let me just pull up my mom's Instagram. Okay, ritual time, right?
Yeah. But that is what's funny. It's just funny to think of like Harry going around and like taking pictures, or his friends just being like, oh, here's some pictures of me, or you know, like you say, like the family picture. Like, Mike, again, families are more of that kind of a thing where they're more likely to give you a picture or, again, like a Christmas card-y kind of a thing. But I'm like, yeah, I'm like, so he's
always that one family member that has the camera.
He's only, Harry and Murphy, even Susan, exchanging photos is just a little bit weird. Like, yeah, a casual photo could have come up with Susan, but yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, he might have taken.
You know they totally did a photo booth.
I thought I was going for a second.
A photo shoot?
Yeah.
When Harry went to the Murphy family barbecue, they had like a pinboard pin of photos and he just stole and swiped a couple of Murphy.
There you go. Yeah, it is just funny. I'm thinking of him like going around like snapping some picture, doing like the original selfie or something. But I was going to say, Thomas, he's only, been in his life for a couple of years. I mean, again, Thomas is kind of just like a...
Rollins, take our picture next to this body.
Yeah, right? Like, when are him and Thomas coming together as like
it's okay,
almost...
we'll just cut the bottom off.
Yeah.
As like, yeah, 25, 30-year-old adults to just be like, let's go take some pictures, bro. Like, Harry's like, I need proof. Now, look, Murphy, look, I really have them. And yeah.
Even with a cell phone, I rarely take photos with my friends.
Like, I would love that. I would love if his pictures of Murphy are like crime scene forensic.
He's like got her finger up, like fuck off.
Or just like
through the little window in her office, he's just like totally stalking her.
Just literally like her standing over like crime scene tape or like like when you're watching like he's hot procedural and it does like the
he's Colin Creaving Murphy.
But the other, the Marvras. He's got Marvras like blackmail photos. Like,
that's what he's got.
She just got the shotgun. She's shooting people.
Blasting. Every time Murphy comes so over, can she's like, Harry, can you please take this off your fucking mantle?
He's got it like framed and set up.
It's the only photo I have of you, Murph.
Come on, there was a few in that packet. Which I guess he does have of Thomas.
Harry is a private investigator, and all the photos of his friends are just like, this is Susan Grocery Fake. This is Thomas at his job. This is
take out photos of everything. That would be hilarious.
It's good thing Thomas didn't do any of those porno movies, or Harry would just be dropping one of those DVDs in. This should cover Thomas.
That's what all his photos of Thomas are all in, like, compromising permission. And Thomas would have, like, no shame whatsoever. He'd be like, fuck, man, yeah, frame that and stick it up.
Great photo.
I know. Thomas would be like, I'm never moving out. Everywhere is just sexy pictures of me, like, doing
Harry,
it
just tell us you're gay and dating Thomas already. All the signs are there.
If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck. So yes, I'm
stop
like
that,
this.
You're quackers.
I'd like to point out Tansen's written a note in here that she would like to do all her cleaning as Harry does, aka collecting rainwater and pouring it from an ewer. No, you don't want to do
what?
That. No, you don't want to do that.
She's not going to. She wants to. And that tracks.
He's the one cheating it harder. Go buy a Swiffer, buddy.
It just... sounds so, like, you know...
holistic, yes, and earthy. And
I would plan ritual days simply for right after the fairies arrived, actually. And I would just say, like, also, can I get the rainwater treatment today? But
That's probably how they clean anyways. They're fairies, you know.
They collect dew.
We've
right
all
the
seen,
morning,
like,
the
Fantasia and those. Exactly, right? They're showering in little, like, dew drops and... yeah.
I think at the time I was mostly just thinking of a rain barrel outside. Maybe less woohoo.
Yeah. She's just then, she's not carrying a barrel inside. So, you know, you just scoop it out with the ewer and do that. She's not
I imagine flooding out your basement with rainwater and then...
So pretentious,
and
really.
This is why Jessica is still considered my child and not an adult. Me and Tansen are like, yeah, I'd stick out a rain barrel and collect water. Jessica's like, I would just, if Tansen wants to flood her basement just to get some cleaning done, like, no.
Pour it out of anywhere. That seems like...
I mean, if it works, I guess.
That's just how we clean the kitchen every night. We just flood the place.
I mean, really, it is cement floor under here, so...
Anybody who's got kids know that's how you clean the bathroom. You just give your kids a bath and that floods the whole thing out.
You're welcome. So, point is that there's a lot of fucking elements to this. Holy shit, this ritual. I mean, part of this is just fucking collecting everything you goddamn need, because he lists off like 20 fucking different things.
Oh, yeah. He says it's 4 hours of preparation just for the ritual. Yeah.
Which he says is going to be like a half an hour or something like that.
Yeah. It is a process.
I would be napping after like every 45 minutes or something.
He's also fallen asleep in the bathtub 2 times.
Yeah, right.
Oh, gotta start again.
He also says in the text here that I'm sure other wizards would be able to hold it together, but why would you when the ritual is just so much easier? And I was like, clearly not. Clearly, if I had the mojo to just do it, I would just do it. I would just imagine in my mind palace that my house is already prepared and I have all the things I need. And then I would do it.
He does say those that are like more experienced.
I know,
and
but he's saying, he's like, but why would you when it's just easier to do the ritual? And I was like, I bet you for like the gatekeeper or the Merlin, it's literally not easier. They're like, yeah, fuck that shit. I don't need to put out a rain barrel. I imagined one. Boom, done.
I do get what you're saying. Easier, quote unquote. But I was like, but at the same time, yeah, that's what he's saying. He's like, by having a, he's like, I don't have to hold all, I can physically get a candle, get a cup of wine, get a bath. That's easier than holding. Because that's the thing. It's not just one thing. It's all of the elements. So
get
like,
all that.
And most of the time, he's so used to like just using brute strength and just raw energy at his disposal because he's got that. So it's nice to see like that he does have to actually draw in this like level of detail when it's something so complicated.
Part of me wonders how much of this is actually Dumorn versus Ebenezer, because I imagine this part could have been very easily Dumorn, not just Ebenezer. But as a, like, I don't know, corollary to that, I could also see Ebenezer being like, listen, you need 20 steps to do this. Whereas not necessarily the rest are doing that. If they can do the steps in their mind without having to do the process. And like Ebenezer specifically trying to slow Harry down and being like, you need to do 20 steps. Nothing works if you don't have every sense of the body and every
element
of the spirit.
That is funny because... Elliot of the spirit?
Whatever. Element, spirits, the individual essence, all these different things. And I'm like, partially I can see that more as a Dumorn thing, because we can't say Dumorn didn't teach Harry anything.
Yeah.
But if it's just working under pressure, under torture, you know, that, I don't know, almost seems cheap. He was with Dumorn for longer than he was with Ebenezer.
Yeah.
See, Ebenezer seems more like a muscle guy than a
details
guy.
He even says as much. He said, a lot of my time with Ebenezer wasn't even magic focused. It was just fucking having to like work on the farm and just
And this is like, it's interesting. I totally didn't think back.
He's more of a trauma counselor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think back to, like, his training on this, but I find it interesting. I see your points, but like I say, I definitely can see this, like, from your initial statement where you're like, Ebenezer, because like you say, it was all about working the farm, doing this, taking it, right? So I could very much see this being the don't cut corners.
Yeah.
Take your time, do it right, do this, right? Don't just be like, oh, this is good enough. No. Do it well, right? Whereas, like you say, in certain aspects, you're right. Dumorn would also be very methodical and would train him up how to do. But again, a little bit of that, I don't know if shortcuts is quite the right word, but like you say, right, Dumorn would be a bit more about like quick and precise and this and that. And, you know, like he obviously didn't have the same reverence for it because he was doing shady shit.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe, but like you say, either kind of cutting corners or like certain elements where he's like, okay, just do it this way or don't worry.
Well,
you know
that's
what
why
I mean?
Like so many of the things that Harry believes. Yeah. Seem to have been instilled by Ebenezer a lot, which came at the end.
Yes.
A lot of how you believe in magic works. And then as the novels go, and we're only just starting to touch on in these last few, but, you know, he realizes, oh, shit, if you're taught another way, magic can work another way. It's not just the way I was taught. It's just that that's how it works in my head. It has to always be that way now.
And also,
mind over matter again.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering about this ritual. It's like, had you been taught a lesser extreme version, like it does
seem a little
bit like Ebenezer coming in and being like, let's slow you down, buddy, let's make it a little bit harder for you almost, because if you know how to fast track this, you're unstoppable and we need
Kaboom.
You to take 4 hours to set up a complicated ritual.
Ebenezer's kind of reminds me of like the Mr. Miyagi of wizardry, like wax on, wax off.
Yeah,
you're baling hay, but you're actually doing something else.
And for a kid like Harry, who had a lot of power and at that point not a lot of control, had already killed someone with magic, whatever, I can totally see the coming in and being like, let's slow everything down. Not just
show
for
your
the
work.
Safety of others, but for your own personal safety so you don't pop off again. Like, I can
see that. Like, to show your work. It's not good enough that you know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand how and more importantly why you're getting that?
Yeah.
Why are we doing this? Why does 2 + 2 equal? Yeah, I totally exactly see that. The Mr. Miyagi
approach, yeah.
I
do still wonder sometimes, like, I wish there was a little bit more on his time with Justin, just so we could have a more comparable...
Well, and it is interesting because I think, like you say, he learned a lot of his initial magic But I think that's part of the difference between it is...
Yeah, there was no discipline until Ebenezer.
He didn't... Obviously, Justin wasn't like, oh, this is a force of creation we must honor, right? He didn't want that shit going into... So he was just like, here's how you do this, here's how you do this.
And
right?
I think even Whereas the part
afterwards,
said about...
that's the thing is Ebenezer came and said, whoa, do you know why you're doing this? Why does this happen like that?
Yeah, the
you
part
know?
What you say about showing your work, you know, Justin was creating a thrall. Harry was never supposed to be an independent thinker. He just needed the power, and then Justin was going to control him like a tool after that. So for Ebenezer to come in afterwards and be like, okay, now let's build a person behind all this that has morals and ethics and decision-making skills and isn't just
Ebenezer,
shooting from
ethics.
The hip. Continue.
That wasn't meant to be a stopper there, but...
Do as I say, not as I do.
It's pretty judgy, exactly. Okay? I feel like thus far Ebenezer's had some pretty fucking good reasons for
I love Ebenezer.
My father figure who betrayed me, so I'm not upset.
Exactly. Hey, you know what? Again, as the outside reader to this, I'm like, I don't know. I get it, Harry, but I'm also like, it tracks.
Grow up.
You always need that one person. You need your James Bonds. You need your Harry Dresdens. You need your Ebenezers. You need your... There always has to be somebody who gets to bend and break the rules, because you're right. Otherwise, the bad people always twist it and use everything to their advantage and get away with it. So,
twist again.
Like I did last century. I mean, sorry. But yes, I was never as angry with Ebenezer as Harry was, although I do see where Harry was coming from.
I feel that I have a pretty extensive music knowledge, but like all my brain went to was like Beatles Twist and Shout. I don't know what the fuck you guys were on just then.
It's like Chubby Checkers.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that is.
A little bit earlier. I think that was 50s versus 60s.
Yeah, something like that. Blueberry Hill.
I found my thrill.
Continue. Not with the song.
Blueberry Hill. Come on, I'm just as good as Tanzan. Isn't that it? All right, fine.
I can insult you or I can insult Tanzan or I can just stay silent.
I'm okay with two out of those three options. But anyways, all this goes to say is it is interesting, the time and whatever, because like you say, Harry's like, normally I just have to do a spell in a split second and I can hold that shit in my mind for a split second. I can't for like half an hour. So again, it's just as interesting, like you say, of why he's taking the 4 hours to substitute all this other stuff so that he doesn't have to think about any of those things during the half hour. He's like, I only have to work the magic part of it and I have to set up absolutely nothing else physically or mentally to do this. So it's crazy how...
Harry, too, is neurodivergent.
Welcome to
the school. They say as much later on. Other people accuse him of it later on.
I'd believe it.
There were signs.
Harry said it crazy, right?
So 4 hours have passed and then... Bring, bring.
Fucking fuckers!
This whole being so furious that even when Mouse looks at you and you like yell at the dog, I get that. I've yelled at my cat so many times for that. I'm like, fucking bitch, this is your fault, stupid cat.
Right?
He just stares at me and I was like, damn it.
See, I have that firsthand with the dog where the dog then looks very sad at you and you're like, oh, dude. Cats at least will just kind of give you the stink
eye. That's what I mean. I was like, my cat almost reacted like Mouse just being like, bitch. Yeah. What are you looking at right now? Damn it.
I do Why like you that Mouse takes it in stride and kind of goes, meh.
It's like...
You're dumb.
Exactly, yeah.
It's like all dogs are like epitome of like Canadians. Like I tripped over my dog the other day and he got like all sad and came up and was like, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, I tripped. I'm sorry. That's sort of like, right? They're like, somebody bumps into you and you're like, oh, I'm sorry.
You've got a sad dog though.
I do. He's not sad. He's just finding his place in the world.
He's a sad dog.
He had a couple of bumps before he got here. He got to go to his first cub camp, though.
Okay.
That was very exciting. He really enjoyed that. I should show you the picture of that because he totally curled up in the lap of, like, one little boy. It was, like, oh, my God. It was so cute. The only thing was, because his recall is okay, but it's also still quite selective when he wants it to be. And I was a little bit afraid because...
You mean recall?
Call him back. Because when I was visiting my sister, we took our dogs to the dog park, and it was a very, very large one, and he did. He was good for the first bit, and then at one point he got all excited and trotted off after other people, and I got a call from the other side of the park being like, hey, are you at the dog park? I'm like, yeah, did you find my dog? Because I can't. So I did not let him, like, normally when I could take Pandy, I could let her just roam free because she would only go a certain distance or she'd, like, happily go off the kids. Him, I was afraid he might go off a little bit more, so he didn't quite get full range. But, yeah, all the walks and all of this and all the other stuff. But, yeah, he found it was – and it was funny, too, because everybody asks – I mean, these are the only dogs I've ever gone camping with, Pandy, and now this is the first time I've gone camping with Wiz. And I was like, does he just sleep in the tent with you? I'm like, yeah. Like, are they supposed to, like, claw their way out halfway through? Like, I don't know. Like, in the morning, he came. And it's kind of funny. He's starting to learn the same thing that Pandy used to do. So when Pandy needed to, like, wake me up or something like that, she would do, like, this, like, tippy tap. Like, she learned, like, she could, like, click her claws on the, or something. Pandy had a hard time. Her tags never stayed on. She had big man hands, and I swear every time she scratched, she always ended up pulling the
collar off.
The circle with the tag. She always bent them out of shape and pulled the. So I ended up keeping her tags like in my purse, which was. But thankfully, she didn't wander off too much, so that was good. Wisp has been good. His have stayed on. So I either, yeah, I get like the jingle of his collar, or he's starting to do like the tippy tap thing to like wake me up. And it's really fun. He also starts off too sometimes. He starts off with the tiniest, like. Because sometimes I'll kind of roll over and be like partially awake, and I don't know if he hears like the change in breathing or whatever. But he starts off like the tiniest, like. And then he very slowly, like, rises in temperature and, or temperature, in volume until I, like, and he's like, I gotta go pee now. Can you let me out? And, like, but it's, he's not perfect necessarily during the day, like, but he's starting to learn those signs about alerting me when he needs to go out or, like, waking me up. I just think that's so funny that they both have, like, learned that, like, if I go clicky clack, that gets her.
Cute.
It is. It's funny. But yes, he's sad eyes. Sorry.
I've been working on click training Rory, and she's really fucking good at it.
Is she? Is she doing it?
She is so stinking smart with it.
How?
She sits easy. She sits up. She, like, gives me 5.
Nice. Yeah. That is awesome. Yeah, can
she? And you see, and if you point to a place and say, come, she will go to the place.
Oh, that's awesome. I wonder if I should try. Maybe click training would work better with him, too. I do have one somewhere.
Well, and the both of them were trained before to, like, go to your spot and sit. So for them
for
to
the eating,
they would always go to the exact same spots where they were fed and then sit down. So it's not far off.
That is pretty cool.
And I had worked with Rory before on it, but like just like actually finally doing the clicker training part, which I'm going to try to expand with like the backpack and harness.
Calm, cool, collected. So this is the other thing, because I keep imagining him going down and doing this like around little sugar, like he's doing it in. But, I mean, I think he did. Actually, I don't know for sure if he has a phone in his basement. Sometimes I feel like he's talked about like dragging it down there on his like 200-foot telephone cord that he has. Sometimes I feel like he does have an extension down there. So I'm not sure. But yeah, if he's like just sitting in his living room. So I'm like, you're going to meditate and start, and then you're still going to have to go down to actually say, like, look at little Chicago.
When
and
Mouse
see
was
what,
a puppy, he was able to bounce down to the sub-basement. But I feel now that Mouse is full grown. He's like, I'm not going
down there.
I'm
going to be super cramped. Yeah, like Harry keeps saying how he barely fits down there. And I was like, how is Mouse going to?
Well, he says half falling onto the nearest couch. So I think he's not downstairs yet.
Yeah, so that just seems weird to me. I figure by the time he actually started doing
if you're cleaning the apartment, you're cleaning the whole apartment, okay? Just get it done.
I guess. I just, you know, like, you know, be ready with your tools. I don't know. Anyways. Yeah, so.
You have to come and get the photo of Murphy off the mantle.
That's a little bad juju for this. What did he have, like, a special, like, spell-lined lead box or something that he hides all this shit in?
Well, I mean, it's a good thing that he gets that phone call because he realizes in hindsight what a stupid idea it was for him to
if
try.
If I didn't remember something as simple as unplugging the damn phone, which in fairness, but at the same time, I'm like.
It seems like a harsh.
I would be just as pissed as he is here, like, exactly. I'd be like, it's like, seriously, right? You do, like, 4, 5, 6 hours of prep, and then you get and then you realize, like, you forgot, like, the fucking, like, I don't know, butter knife, and now your whole entire picnic can't be done because you have nothing to serve or cut or spread anything with, you know what I mean? Like, I would be, like,
yeah,
so
this to him is a detail that should have been important for him enough to have remembered, and
yeah.
He didn't, so.
Yeah, it's a small but vital thing that had he been on the ball, but again, I'm like, buddy, I get you. Again, like I said, I'm like, I would have had to sleep after, like, every 45 minutes of this. It would take me, like, 8 hours to prep for this shit. So I am fully on board with you that, like, 4 fucking hours of doing all this shit you didn't really want to do has all gone down the drain. And I was like, no, just think positive. It's supposed to be. Fuck thinking positive. Do I have the right number? Of course you fucking do. How can you not fucking tell? Yeah.
Annoyed as hell, but speaking.
Turns out Molly's on the phone.
Molly!
Michael and Charity's oldest daughter. Hello, Molly. We haven't seen you for a minute. Not since you were breaking
14.
In. Yeah.
Yeah, and since you were, like, unlocking Harry's handcuffs.
Yeah.
Just starting the life of crime.
Getting out of the life of crime. Yeah, right. Well, it's so funny. I love how when it starts, he's like, it kind of sounds familiar, but I can't place it. And I love that because you're right. It would be a combination of things. It would be a combination of Molly, mm-hmm. who you have. And I mean, again, because he specifically says he hasn't talked to Michael in a couple of years. That means
he's avoiding all of the Carpenters.
Molly was like 15.
It's not somebody he's anticipating.
It's not somebody he's anticipating. So on the one hand, he's like, oh, yes, this does kind of, this voice is kind of familiar. But again, usually doesn't have long involved callers. So yeah, and again, the fact that she kind of sounds like her mom now, right? But not quite, right? So I love how he's getting all these like vague resonant, like it sounds familiar. And then it's like, oh, that's why it sounds familiar, but not. You're a little bit older than your voice, but you're not quite your mother's voice, but you're, yeah.
I've got two younger siblings that live very far away from me. And so I only see them a few times a year. So I talk to them on the phone sometimes more often than I see them in person.
And then wait. I don't believe that. You're under 30.
And the first time
she won't talk to me on the phone. You phone them?
And the first time that I heard my brother's voice post-puberty, I was convinced I was talking to my father. And I was like, I don't feel safe talking to you. I can't be sure this isn't dad and not my brother.
Pranking
he was like,
you,
I swear
right?
this is your brother. And I was like, I don't think so. This is not what my brother sounds like. My brother is a squeaky little boy.
Like,
this
you have to FaceTime
like
right now.
No, literally, I fully was convinced. I was like, this sounds like dad, and it only sounds like dad.
You think that's bad? So 2019, so my dad passed away like when I was 20. And a few years later, my mom remarried her old high school sweetheart. So all cool, all fine. He was a great guy, wonderful stepdad, blah, blah, blah. No, you know, trauma or anything from that. So 2019, he passed away. And me and my older sister had been making arrangements to go out and give them a hand and see them. And unfortunately, this happened just before. So we were still keeping our trip. But I had phoned my mom. And so they were in this tiny town in New Brunswick. So all of the phone numbers started, obviously they all had the same area code, but they all had like the same like first three digits and stuff like that. So I had, when I put their numbers in, I guess I had flipped my mom's cell phone number and my stepdad's cell phone number. So I call what I think is my mom and my stepdad answers the phone.
Her stepfather who has just died.
Who has just died. And I know he has just died. So I'm like, so my brain is like, it can't be. But and again, being that they were out there, I did phone them a lot, right? Whenever I wanted to talk, it was always on the phone. And they almost like 98% of the time, they'd always do like a speaker joint call, right? So I was very familiar. So while my brain is sitting here going, it can't be him, he's dead. My ears are going, he just answered the phone. And I'm very confused. And I know I'm wrong, but I'm like,
helmet?
Yeah, I was like, blah, 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 nah, I don't know about it. Yeah, it was his son. His oldest son had gone out to visit and be there for the funeral and all that kind of stuff. And so my mom had given him that phone to use while he was there. But literally, they said, and even as he continued talking, I was like, I still, like, okay, I understand now. But I was like, they were over the phone, absolute 100% dead ringer.
Yeah, sister sound so much alike that in person, my niece will hear me talk and look at me and go, this is freaking me out, man. This is freaking me out.
Right
and I'll
after
hear it
that.
Too. Sometimes when I'm editing, I'm like, that's Lorraine, not me.
Yeah. Yo, yeah.
Right after that, I have it saved in my phone. It's just grandma and grandpa. I didn't have it distinguished between whose cell phone was whose. Oh. So I did the same thing. I called Uncle Steven and I went, grandpa? And he was like, are you looking for your grandma right now? This is Steven. And I was like, wow, you sound so much like yes, please.
I can only imagine how much he went through that in
I'm sure he did.
Weeks.
I'm sure in a
because
couple of weeks.
Any friends, family, anybody
calling.
Because
he knew immediately. Like, as soon as I called, I was like, hello? And he's like, are you looking for a grandma right now? I'm like, yes. My best friend's boyfriend was in a very crowded place and heard my voice and went, Jessica, 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 and found mom.
That's true, yes. Thank you, Comic Expo. I was
doing
crowd control.
Have a hard time telling sometimes.
I was going to say, when you said sometimes it sounds like your sister when you're the same thing, I'm like, every once in a while, I was like, did I say that or did Jessica? And because I can't remember for a second if that was.
That's why I split it into three.
Yeah, which is good, right, that you have us all on separate channels. It does. But yeah, even that, sometimes I was like, I don't even remember who came up with that comment. Was that me that just made that clever remark or Jessica?
I'm going to
get dumb remarks. I know
seriously,
it's
I'm
going
to get my sister to record something and like,
yeah,
play it for you guys.
And
I'll like record the same thing and be like, who's who?
Yeah, I've never actually met
your sister, which I mean, again, she lives in another province. It's not that.
Yeah.
But again, for all the time that we've known each other now, like we've known each other over a decade now. Isn't that crazy?
Quite a while, yes.
Like 12 years now. Yeah. That's insane. But yeah, I've only ever seen pictures of her, so that would be interesting to see if you guys have. But it's funny that you mentioned
that one. YWCA was?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, my year was...
I thought Rory was older than that for some reason. Okay. Sorry.
No. Yeah, because my year was 2012, and our grad was in the spring of 2013, because we finished in November, but then we did, your class, my class, and another
class.
And my class
would have been,
March.
That two-month offshoot.
Yeah, you were just starting before we finished. So, yeah, it was technically, yeah, it was late, but it was 2012 when we met. So, 11 and a half years. But, yeah, crazy, hey?
Whoa.
Time goes
I was
quick.
Just so funny. Oh, Mrs. Doubtfire. I was like, I just saw something with Matthew Lawrence in it. It is funny, though, because, again, I grew up with two older brothers, and I'm like, I don't really, again, I notice it with, Cubs. So, again, when you haven't seen someone for a bit.
Yeah, the gradual isn't as hard.
But it's just funny. I was like, I don't remember at all ever being at a point where all of a sudden I was like, whoa, my God, you sound so different now, you know?
When you're doing it daily.
I guess.
Even girls' voices change with puberty. It's just not quite as aggressive.
Yeah, it's not quite as. But
and it's for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
Guys are much shorter, more overnight. Drastic, but women's voices change well up to
slow
as late as their 30s.
And steady. Crazy.
So this Although might I not be my final it. Form, is what you're saying.
Is what we're saying.
It's
is,
true.
It may. That's right.
That's always been pretty consistent, though.
Your affected voices, your voice impersonations, those will not.
So Molly is in jail. And she needs Harry to come bail her out, because if she calls her parents, she's dead. And I get partially, okay, I wouldn't want to call my super Catholic parents either to come and bail me out. And I see that actually all the time. I watch a lot of body cam footage.
Whose patron is the man above it all together?
But people are always freaking out. They're like, call my mother. And I was like, there's no way in hell I would ever call my mom if I was arrested. She would never even find out if I'd been arrested. There's no way ever.
And honestly, knowing Jessica, it is possible that she has and that I haven't.
Exactly my point.
I'm still finding
you
out
would
things
never
she did
and
in
will
like
never.
High school that I never clued into.
I was just living my life.
You were living quite the life, apparently.
Obstruction is a crime that cops often make worse than the original crime you did.
Yeah.
So being lying about your age, how are you not super fucked for that?
Like, what is obstruction technically? I didn't look it up. I was like, I don't know what that is.
It's anything interfering with
their investigation, not giving them your right ID,
not giving
failing
them
to identify yourself, giving them
withholding
a false
any
name
information,
or a false age,
false
or false
information.
Birthday.
Yeah.
Any.
Can they charge you that if you you're supposed to have the right to remain silent?
They can
you just
charge
don't say
you for whatever
anything?
The hell they want. Then the judge can drop it if he thinks they went too far. But the cops can charge you for whatever the hell they want.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's different though, because being under arrest is when you get Miranda. Just
No. You get Mirandized when they want to question you.
If you just
whatever.
Don't say anything.
Okay, generally,
do that.
I was if they...
They're like, oh, you're obstructing by not telling me anything.
That, I think, is different, because then you have right to a lawyer and stuff like that. So that, I think, is maybe a little bit...
You have 50-50, because they... obviously, the cops can't necessarily go too far if they want to, uphold their investigation and not have it thrown out. But if they think it's something minor like that, they might be like, who cares what I say? This is never going to be a big case.
Yeah. Usually, it's... I mean, not that it can't be, or at least the way I've seen it used, which, yes, is pretty much all fictional content, but... it is more likely the side character, the girlfriend who's like, you can't arrest him and you can't, you know what I mean? It's like, you are obstructing what I'm doing right now. You are interfering with me doing my job. I will, same thing contempt of court and stuff like that, right? It's you're not necessarily the one on trial, you're not necessarily the one doing shit, but you are causing a problem, interfering, doing anything, whether it's verbally, physically, whatever, whether it's by omission or straight out falsehood or, right? Those are all the things that obstruction of justice can be, you know what I mean?
Point is that her lying about her age could get her in a lot of trouble, actually.
Which, just in general,
Younger, 13, 14, you might not have an ID, but 16, 17, 18, and she's claiming to be 18 so that they don't call her parents. And she doesn't have ID to prove, I'd be like...
Which, again...
shady.
Yes and no.
But she's here to just pick up a friend from jail, so...
Yes and no, but I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure I did not go on my 18th birthday to get... Actually, that's probably
See,
not
this is
true.
Why I find this crazy.
I was just going to say, actually, that's not true, because we all want to go out drinking on our age of majority, so we all make sure we have ID.
I was already a licensed driver at 16.
I wasn't. That was it.
I had learners at 14. Yeah. I had
friends well into their 20s that still had never owned a piece of ID, and I was like, I had mine since I was 14 years old when I went and got my learners.
Which I did
never
not.
Been without fucking ID.
I only had, I think I did purchase... Yeah, I had just an ID card because I didn't take my learner's test until
I
was 18.
That's fine, but yeah, having fucking ID.
But I was going to say, I did have to go, I remember, because I was like, oh, duh, I went out on my birthday. And I'm still like, I mean, again, I was in my 20s with kids and people were like, they seriously thought I was like 16 years old with, which is great in the long run, I'm not complaining, but I know for sure there's no way I got into a bar on my birthday or anywhere close to there without ID. So I guess I did go and get it.
By the time I was 18, I presented them with the correct ID.
Yeah, exactly.
I did not. Yeah, I was too chicken shit. I never went with a fake. Oh, I didn't really need to.
There was the place that I was going to knew I was underage, and they're like,
they were selling you cigarettes when you were 14. You didn't.
So I like gave them my sister's ID, and she's 9 years older than me.
Yeah, I was gonna say there was.
They were like, at least like they showed us something.
I was gonna say there was a couple of places where we could go where we knew they either wouldn't check or didn't care or whatever. And other than that, exactly, you just hung out at your friend. Or again, we did like a lot of pool halls, like the guy I was seeing in high school and a bunch of his friends loved. So they would go and get a pitcher of beer, and I would just, you know, sneak out of his. Well, technically, I wasn't drinking. I didn't order anything. They didn't serve me.
Terrible
I would just
child.
Drink his
Terrible,
beer
horrible
at
child.
The pool hall. But regardless, anyways, all of that, it kind of sort of maybe because, again, given the type of, like, I'm thinking of you. Yes, you had ID, but you also, no exaggeration, lost your bank card like every 2 days. Could well have been, you know what I mean? At that age, I could potentially see. And
yeah,
again,
yeah, fair
she
enough.
Wouldn't.
You're
she
responsible teenagers.
She probably didn't have, you know, her own cell phone with a wallet attached to it, kind of it, or stick it in the case. Like, so could conceivably be if she was just hanging out, you know, wasn't expecting to do anything where she needed ID, that she potentially doesn't. Because, I mean,
I'm just saying it makes more sense in the hindsight. The cops didn't question her that hardcore because she wasn't under arrest. Had she actually been under arrest, I'd be Harry being like, how did you even get away with that lie?
Yeah, I was going to say that would be, unless, like you say, she had a fake ID or something like that. But I do find that a little bit interesting that just over the phone where she's like, I just told them, and they're like, they just accept that. Like, don't they have to look you up somehow and confirm who you are? Like, I get, yeah, you could be like, I don't have ID on me. But yeah, you'd think they would be doing something to try and
exactly identify
confirm
it.
That, you know, whatever. But anyways.
Point is, please come and bail me out, Harry. Please don't call my parents. I desperately need you. You're a friend of the family. I need to rely on an adult. Please come help.
Well, I love this. How? Because I mean, like, we talk about it all the time, and I just did it here. I'm like, oh, my knowledge of this is based entirely on fictional thing. But she's like, I only get one phone call, and I use it to call you. And he's like, I don't think it actually works like that. She's like, no, for real. I only get one call. Like, I do love that. Because, again, like, as a kid, you know, you just, like, it's so funny. I don't know what it was yesterday that made me think of it. But I was like, all these things, like, our parents tell you as, like, a kid or something like that. And I'm like, there's things that literally, like, I didn't really think about it between, like, 5 years old and, like, 20. And all of a sudden at 20, when, like, your kid asked you or something, you suddenly realize, you're like, you know what? I never questioned this because I just never had a reason to. But now that I have to, like, think about it consciously, I'm like, that's a load of shit. Like, of course, like, I can't think of a good excuse now. But, like, you know,
I dug it, my homework.
Okay, for sure. Something like that, right? Where you're just like, oh, yeah, totally take it for, you know, when your dad is like, oh, yeah, so I had this dog, and he, like, ate all my homework and blah, blah, blah. And after that, he pooped out, like, alphabet soup, and you'd be like, oh, my God, that's so cool. And it's not until you actually come to that at some point, and you're like, wait a second, that's not how that happened. You know, but I was like, I get to at least see that. Like, kind of one of these, like, because I was like, you know what? I'm sure I probably always thought of it too, because they were always like, I get one phone call, I get one phone call, I get one phone call. And until I actually was an adult and had to process that information at one point, be like, yeah, obviously, because if you try to call your lawyer and they don't answer, or obviously you must be able to have a couple of phone calls to get a hold of somebody in some situation, right? It's not just one and done, and oh, well, you didn't get anybody, ha ha ha, you're now in jail forever, you know? Like, but yeah, I love that, how there's just that touch of, like,
you know,
like,
what my traumatizing
so
one was? I left my doll in the mall, and I was told, do not bring your doll inside the mall. You will lose her. And I said, why would I lose my best friend? And then I left her in the mall. And then for my, like, 2 years later on my 6th birthday, I was presented with this doll. My grandma found her, tracked her down, gave her to me. And then walking around high school, I'm 16 years old, and I said, wait a second, that's not the same doll.
She worked hard to find, because it was kind of like a...
Mini marshmallows don't grow into large marshmallows.
Wait, what?
Have I ever told you that story?
The marshmallow farm?
I know that one.
Okay. That's still one of my favorite ones.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly right. But I have to admit, kudos, because she did at one point find, it was the same type of doll, but it was like dressed differently or whatever. So she had that as like a spare friend until, and then yeah, she was so thrilled when she got this. So I will say kudos to Grandma for that. That was,
and she beat it up so it looked like a well-loved doll before she gave it to me. I did not receive a pristine doll on my 6th birthday. I received a piece of shit doll that looked like she'd been loved by a 4-year-old for 4 years.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it was pretty.
My
impressive.
Dad does not own Peter's Drive-In, no matter what he tells you.
Which I think we've mentioned here before, but just in case, is a very popular burger drive-in that we have in town.
Yeah. And my cousin Chris, again, didn't realize that that was bullshit until he was 25.
Yeah. Right. Oh, wait. Yeah, because like you say, if you don't have cause to think of it, it doesn't, yep. Right? Because I was just thinking of that yesterday when I had the kid and there was something, like I almost made some comment. And it was, again, going to be one of those things like, oh, well, of course, that's
going to be. I don't think I've even told my dad that he thought that, too.
Oh, really?
I should tell him.
Yeah, you should.
Sorry. Just struck me. I was like, I think my dad needs to know that.
Right. Yeah, that would be funny. You should tell him.
There's a lot of people that believe you're bullshit dad.
You're like...
I mean, it's funny bullshit. I love it.
Right.
Right.
You know, that is the best thing about kids. Because I do it all the time. Like, again, even though I know that, I don't think about the ramifications a lot of times, right? I'll make jokes to her. And I'm like, it never occurs to me really until I'm like, you know what? 20 years from now, she might just be thinking that's what it is until...
Yeah. May you lied to me.
So, yeah. So I like Harry's compromise or decision or whatever for this. She finally talks him into it and he's like, okay, fine. But if I decide it's necessary, I am going to tell your... And I like that because I'm like, I probably would have had a hard time with this decision. Like, same thing, being in never quite this dire, but similar, like, again, the between the holding the confidence and being the one that the child is coming to and also being like, yeah, but your parents should be involved. Like, I can't make, you know what I mean? Like, so I like that, right? She's kind of straddling the line there, and he kind of does too. Like, okay, you're kind of old enough to be starting to make right, like, you're supposed to be legal in the next year or two, but you know what? If I think it's fishy or I don't like or it's whatever, we are going to, right?
And even I'm going to tattle.
Yeah, right? Like, I don't drag me. Don't put me in the middle of this. I'm not. And so I like that, you know, he sort of reasons that out and does present it to her, even though she's like, no. And I mean, again, you get it. Again, as having once been a teenage girl and whatever, and anybody who is, you know, you can kind of tell a little bit. She's like, okay, yeah, sure. Just to, you know, but it's like, yeah, I was like, fair enough. You gave her the scoop. You told her straight up.
It's a good compromise, it is. It, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So agrees to go, and now you realize he has to fork out more cash.
Which is wise, because even, you know, even if his car was available, he shouldn't be driving with...
Well, that's true. After he does make that point, too, because after he's been sitting there and he gets up to answer the phone, I think all of a sudden he's, like, all stiff and sore and already. And I'm like, that's fair, right? Like...
Whatever, it's just when you get up from a massage and they're like, just take a moment. Like, he's not drunk.
No, I think a car crash whiplash, like high-impact situation, is a little different.
I thought we were just saying he's dozy from like...
No. It's not the lotus position right, that's done him in. He's been in a high...
I'm already over it.
Back to reason why it was a bad idea for him to even try this. Yeah. Like,
Jessica's
their brain is bruised right now.
She's such a pussy. She's like, I was in a car accident before I was even born.
Yeah, literally. I had like... Jesus. The car flipped like 6 times.
It was twice.
And I still came late. You're welcome. I wasn't like, oh yeah, I need to be born early now because you flipped a car. No, I waited until I was ready. You're welcome.
She just didn't want to share a birthday with her aunt. She's like, screw that. All the attention is on me.
Could you imagine how horrible my life would be if I'd been born on Valentine's Day?
I'm sorry?
I said, could you imagine how horrible my life would be if I'd been born on Valentine's Day?
My grandmother was.
And was her life horrible?
No.
But
well, maybe. Well,
the first I don't know many grandmas who didn't have horrible lives, but
the residential school part was pretty shitty.
Yeah. Oh, that part would be bad.
Okay, it wasn't a fucking competition tangent.
Forgot about that. Sorry.
I was going to say that, like, grandmothers and prior. At
In general, she was pretty happy.
Bringing
lady.
Down the vibe.
Right? At this age, because again, a lot of that commercialization of those holidays have only happened, right? So she might not have been at, right? It might not have.
This is the one way I remembered her birthday. Come on.
There is that, but
It's yours. I can never remember because it keeps changing. It's a full fucking month.
That's easy to remember.
Yeah, it's not hard. It doesn't change. It's the whole fucking month, Danson.
Which month? I don't remember.
March.
You can celebrate me 364 days a year.
Do you know what? I often, like, whenever I see it on my calendar, I, like, text her and I'm like, is it this day?
Which is the real day?
Is my
day?
Calendar right this time?
A lot. Like half a dozen friends text me every March 1st and say, happy birthday, mom. Like
happy
many
birthday,
different people.
Mom?
Month.
Oh, month. Happy birthday, month.
Like many people hit me up on the 1st of March and they say,
they're
hey,
like, we give up.
Already.
We know. Yeah.
I would say that I would be one of those people, but like I rely on the technology to tell me things. Like now.
No, they're not guessing. They just know I celebrate
day.
The whole month.
Just like I'm just gonna be like a giant, which is why I was like, somebody wish Kenzie like a happy birthday.
I know it's summer because there's no snow.
Yeah, yeah, lucky. Yes,
but yeah, like somebody wish like her sister happy birthday just because like thank you. And she's like, you take like a whole fucking month already. Stop trying to steal mine.
That was so funny. I'm so funny. I'm so funny.
But it's funny because like I say, she has like this completely like dichotomy, diametrically opposed. I don't know. Everybody at her sub job, she's either loved or loathed. But yeah, so she has, so the ones that like her do like the whole entire, like she's always like having little doodads and trinkets and gifts and jewelry and
galore.
Things like that. Yeah. Where she's like, I will never wear this. Do you want it? Or like, oh, it's fake. I can't wear the fake stuff either, but depending sometimes. But yeah, it's just so funny to be like, where did you get it? She's like, oh, some guy at 7-Eleven brought it in for me. So it's like, seriously, she has people just like bringing her gifts and trinkets and shit.
Books
like,
and
all
rocks
month.
That's how I got all of my automotive stuff done when I worked in as a bartender. Because it would always be like some customer, like that was some guy drinking at the bar, be like, I'd be chatting with somebody about how my car was making this.
My
like,
blinker
give me
won't work.
Give me your keys. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You go out and like fix it, come back. He's good.
Meanwhile, Tansen wonders why.
Here's a beer.
My car got stolen.
Why the car I inherited from her eventually, well, I mean, bought off for.
Okay,
like,
that tinfoil was magic.
It wasn't, it was duct tape, love. It was held together by duct tape. But this is, she wonders why this card has beat shit and been like written off 3 times. Maybe because you let drunks fix it all the time. Maybe that's why the card didn't work.
Those are always like random fucking, like that was like the drilling truck that
they
one.
They were very random. But, and hey, I really can't complain because I drove that car for some real years afterwards before it just died and refused to go anymore. And so I really, that thing.
It's a good car.
It was a good car for for a cheap university.
Do you know I named that?
Bare bones.
It's after my favorite pickup line. Fuck me if I'm wrong, but isn't your name Gretchen?
So he didn't want to go out in his robes? He says, he's like, I came out of the bedroom in clean clothes. You are already wearing clean clothes, Harry. You spent like 4 hours getting those clothes and yourself clean.
He didn't want to be mistaken for a cult leader.
Apparently. He didn't want to do like his Jesus pickup.
You know how easily white stains. It's not leaving the house.
Which is why I own nothing white, which is why I wouldn't have been able to meet that dress code Tansen had to do, But he loved, the mouse is just like, want Damien with you? And Harry's like, I'm going to a police station. Sure.
See, that one I always is like, that's very mouse, like, I get suspicious that I'm like, oh, Mouse wants to come? What's up?
Yeah, right.
Because we had it in a book, was this the last book, where it was like, I need a convenient way to not bring Mouse with me to...
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and so now that Mouse is like, I want to come, I'm like, you know, Mouse, what's up?
Yeah, shit's going to happen.
Now,
what's
why
going
you
want
to be there so bad,
why?
Dog?
Why? Why?
Dog breath. Why?
Fur face. You ain't pretty.
You just look that way?
You ain't nothing but a hound.
Oh, sure, that one you know. You know what?
That wasn't even my reference.
It wasn't even.
She ain't pretty, she just looks that way.
I got it. Okay.
This concludes our episode 17.5, Knights in White Satin Robes. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and mcanallys.ca. There we have links to other podcasts, social media, other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through your Patreon to keep the magic alive and see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Thank you.